My name's Richard Hopkins, and I'm here to talk a little bit about Xamarin. How many of you here are Xamarin developers or have some kind of experience of Xamarin? Ooh, quite a lot. Wow. More than I expected. Right, so maybe you can teach me a few things during this session. So for the first half hour, this is going to be mainly aimed at those of you who don't have a great knowledge of Xamarin, maybe haven't used it before, have come here to find out a little bit more about our technology. What is Xamarin all about? Well, I mean, we know the classic problem. Three different mobile operating systems, three different languages, three different IDEs, three different platforms, three different frameworks, sets of APIs. And this normally leads to three different teams or three different skill sets that you as a developer have to, you know, really become acquainted with. And it's complex, it's difficult. It takes a lot of time to be able to master iOS, Android, and if you're one of the three people in Ireland that uses Windows Phone, that one too. So Xamarin tries to solve this problem by enabling you to share code across all the major platforms. And on this slide, we've got three different handsets, but you could extend this out to all kinds of different devices. So through support for UWP that comes with Xamarin, you can now target all kinds of different platforms. So we're not just talking about smartphones, mobile devices, but you can now build your Xamarin app and deploy it out to a Windows desktop application, Windows Store, Xbox One, HoloLens. What other weird and wonderful form factors? Raspberry Pi. So what does this enable you to do? Well, obviously, you know, if you're spending all of your time writing code for different platforms, if you're duplicating the same functionality across iOS, Android, Windows Phone, Windows UWP, then you're spending all your time writing code and you're not innovating. And what you should be doing for your customers or for your employees if you're building an enterprise app or for people that are going to be the end users of your application is building great features, not just writing the same code again and again to do exactly the same thing. So before I joined Xamarin a little over 2 years ago, I worked for a major supermarket chain in the UK. Maybe some of you have heard of a supermarket called Tesco. So this is where I spent my time, and I was the lead engineer on the innovation team. And if you look at the supermarket grocery home shopping app that we had, it looks pretty much the same on Android and iOS. It does pretty much the same thing. You put your products into a basket, you choose a delivery time, you check out, it hopefully arrives at your door. So why would you want to write that twice or three times to target three different platforms? It just doesn't make sense. If it's exactly the same user experience each time, code duplication to achieve that really doesn't help your time to market. It makes it more difficult to maintain feature parity across different platforms. I know that companies that I've worked with before have great difficulty with this. They have an Android team, they have an iOS team. And the iOS team, generally on the whole, I've found, is a little faster. iOS just is a little quicker to develop for. Android, a lot of fragmentation out there in the market. It takes a bit more time to test, to fix all those bugs, to make sure it works on all those different form factors. So what Xamarin enables you to do is to increase your time to market and also maintain that feature parity. If you only have a single code base to maintain, you only really have to develop once, but it's not just about development. It's also about testing and about maintenance. You've got a single code base, you've got less bugs to fix. You fix it once, it's fixed for everybody. You've got less code to test. You don't have to test Objective-C and Java and C#. We're going to talk to you today about the entire end-to-end DevOps solution that Xamarin provides. So most people think of us as a platform, as a development framework. But we've also, with our recent acquisition by Microsoft, grown out to have some really great integrations with Azure. And we also provide a lot of other solutions to help you with the DevOps lifecycle. So we've got Test Cloud, our test automation service that allows you to push your app up to the cloud and test it on thousands of real devices. And Hockey App, a new addition to our family that became part of the Xamarin family when we became part of Microsoft. And this is your distribution and crash analytics platform. So you can push your app out to a beta test audience. Underpinning that, we've got some great tooling for your ALM, so Visual Studio Team Services. And then underpinning all of that, we've got Xamarin University. So if you are new to Xamarin, and if you're perhaps an existing .NET developer, or even if you've never done any C# or .NET development, Xamarin University is an awesome experience. It's live online training. You can schedule live classes with Xamarin instructors. They're all instructors that work for us. We don't outsource any of that to third parties. And they will help you through workshopping sessions to really pick up the fundamentals of how to build an application cross-platform with our technology. So what is our technology? Well, one of the words that we use a lot at Xamarin is this word native. And we really focus on this because we think that this is what really sets us apart from a lot of the existing hybrid cross-platform solutions that exist. So hybrid development frameworks like Cordova, which some of you may be familiar with, some of you may have even used, leverage that kind of HTML5 layer to give the UI, to present the UI to the user. But it's not really a native UI. It doesn't leverage the native controls of the platform. You're mocking stuff up in a web view to look like an iPhone application, to look like an Android app. But it's not really the same thing as using those native controls, the native buttons, sliders, switches, list views, these kinds of things. So Xamarin gives you all of that. It gives you access to all the native controls of the platform. So your UI is fluid, it's fast, it's responsive. It behaves like an application should on that device. And also you get high-fidelity API access. So all the stuff, all the great stuff that exists that's very sort of digging deep into the hardware of the device itself, GPS, camera control, all the different sensors that exist on the device. Xamarin gives you access to all those APIs. You want to use some of the new speech APIs in iOS 10? You should be able to do that. You want to be able to authenticate your users with their fingerprint? Absolutely. So anything that you can do in Java or Objective-C or Swift on the main mobile platforms, you can do in C# with Xamarin. The only difference being that you don't need to duplicate your code. And what this results in is this third point here, native performance. So you get an app that looks and feels and behaves exactly like a native app. Why? Because it is a native app. Because that's what you produce when you produce your Xamarin build. So there's a traditional architecture within Xamarin, and this really is a two-layer architecture. You've got your business logic layer, and this probably accounts for about 60, 70% of your code. So this is where all of your app logic is sitting. And then on top of that, you've got a platform-specific layer. This is, if you like, the traditional Xamarin architecture. So it sounds a bit strange to use words like traditional for something that's only been around for 4 or 5 years, but this is how we started out. And what this enables you to do is to have a pure .NET implementation in your shared logic, but then leverage all the platform-specific APIs of the different platforms. So you're using UIKit on iOS. On Android, you're building activities and intents and adding the same controls that you would to those if you were a Java developer. It's all very familiar to you. It all looks the same. And on Windows, obviously C#, .NET is native to Windows, so you're building a native UI. And what this enables you to do is to share about 60, 70% of your code across all three platforms, but you still do have to do a little bit of platform-specific work to be able to really get that great UI experience. It's all in C# still, but you still have to write different implementations. So, you know, 60, 70%, it's a good start. We were quite pleased with that for many years, but we thought we could do better. And so we introduced something called Xamarin Forms. And Xamarin Forms enables you to not only share your app logic, your business logic of your application, but also have shared UI. Now, maybe it sounds a bit too good to be true. How can I write 100% shared code and still have a native application come out of it? So it's probably easier to understand by taking a look at a very simple example. What we've got here is a simple Xamarin Forms code fragment. And what we've got is an abstracted API. So we're taking the APIs of the different platforms and abstracting them into a single unified framework. Because if you look at those three phones on the right-hand side, look at that big green button in the middle of the UI. A button is a button is a button. Does the same thing. You tap it, something happens. So why would you want to write that three times? Why would you want to have to write the code behind that three times? It just doesn't make sense. It's not a particularly complex thing. And so why can we not abstract the APIs for the button on Android and on iOS and on Windows and create a single unified API, which then Xamarin Forms does a bit of magic, and it really is, it's magic, and then boils that down to the native APIs of the device itself to give you a native UI. So you can see right at the top there, we've got a content page. So we've created a content page, and this is our container for the page itself. Really easy, very human readable, this code. We've set a couple of properties on it, created a title, giving it an icon, and then we've created something called a stack layout, which is you could think of as an invisible box just to kind of position your controls on the page. And then we've created, a little bit further down, you can see where it says children, we've created these two things called entries. And entries are the abstraction of the text input box. So what Xamarin Forms will do is render this down to the individual text entry box on each platform. Under that, we've created a button, and we've set some properties on the button. We've given it some text. We've given it some text color and a background color. And then right down at the bottom there, we've got this thing called a tabbed page. And that gives us our navigation. So we've chosen a tab-based UI to be able to navigate through the different screens of the app. And we've added the layouts above as children of the tab page controller to give us that UI hierarchy. But when you look on the right-hand side, what you see is three very different looking applications. Three applications that actually look like they belong on the device on which they're running. So look at those tabs, for example. Look at the bottom of the screen on the iPhone. The tab controller, the native UI tab controller in iOS, sits at the bottom of the screen with those little icons. And that's where it sits in a Xamarin Forms app, because it's the native control of the platform. The tabs on Android, the middle phone, sit at the top at the toolbar level, because that's the native control on Android. And on Windows Phone, I think this is 8.1, it took me about a year to learn the name of this. Apparently this is called the pivot. And it's those big swipey words that you swipe backwards and forwards with your thumb to create that kind of tab control on Windows Phone. Now, you can define your layout either in C#, or you can do it in XAML. Anyone a WPF developer or done any Silverlight? Most people who do Silverlight don't like to admit it, so it's a little dirty secret that we share it between us. So XAML is a markup language created by Microsoft for UI definition. And it works fantastically well as part of the Xamarin Forms framework. One of the great things about XAML is that it gives you really good separation between your view layout and the underlying behavior. And as software developers, we all know that that kind of separation of concerns is a great way to build software these days. It makes your software much more testable. If you don't have strong dependencies, then in your unit testing, you can test your code much more effectively than having those strong dependencies. And so we follow, in Xamarin Forms, most of the time, most developers follow an MVVM architectural pattern. Are we all familiar? Or do we need a little bit more help with that? MVVM, probably one of the worst named architectural patterns in the world. Model, view, view, model. So we have a model, and a model is our underlying data. It's our entities. It's the data on which the application is acting. Our view is what we see here. And this is how we present our data to our users. And between them sits a view model. And this exposes our data to the view and also enables us to be able to call out to our services. Now, you don't have to do it this way. It's a lovely, neat model, very suitable for Xamarin Forms, and there's a lot of built-in support for this in the framework. You could just use layouts and code behinds if that's something that works for you. You know, patterns, people get very zealous about patterns and say, oh, you should use this, you should do that. But frankly, you know, do what works for you. This is a little summary of the two different architectural patterns. So on the left-hand side, we've got the native Xamarin native app architecture with our shared app logic, but our platform-specific UI. And then on the right-hand side, we've got Xamarin Forms, which gives you up to 100% code sharing across all three platforms. Now, you might think to yourself at this point, if I can do that thing on the right, why would I want to do the left? Why would I want to do platform-specific implementations when I could share 100% of my code and still get a native app? And it would be a good question. The reason is because when you develop with Xamarin Forms, there are going to be some caveats that you have to bear in mind. The first and probably most important is that we can only abstract an API if it exists on all three major platforms. If you think about it, most mobile apps use pretty much the same things. They all have buttons. They all have switches. They all have scrolling lists of information, these kinds of things. All these controls are pretty standard. But there do exist certain controls that are very specific to certain platforms. So something like a segmented button on iOS. If you've got an iPhone, you'll have seen it 1,000 times. The little button that's broken into pieces, and you kind of choose one segment of it, and it kind of colors or pops in, and the others. It's kind of like the iOS equivalent of a radio button. But it only exists on the iOS platform. Maybe Apple own the rights to it or something and don't want other people to use it. I don't know. Or something like a floating action button on Android. That little often sort of pinkish red button that sits in the bottom right corner of an Android app often has a little plus symbol in it, often used for adding new records to something. That's a very unique control that's built into the Android framework but doesn't exist on iOS. You'd have to implement it yourself. So we can't abstract those because we can't create a single unified API that's going to render down to the native control of each platform because the control doesn't exist. What would we do? Would we leave a space? Well, that's going to break your app. It's not going to be a great user experience. Would we throw an exception? Ugh, that's not good either. It's going to make the app crash. So we just don't provide it. So most of your apps will work fine. You'll have your buttons, you'll have your scrolling lists, you'll have your sliders, you know, all these different things. But there may be times when you want to leverage the native APIs of the platform. And so really, Xamarin Forms is just, although they're side by side here, Xamarin Forms is just another layer on top of Xamarin Native Platform. And so at any time in your application, you can call back into the native APIs of the platform and leverage those native APIs. You could extend a control, give it more behavior. You could create an entirely new control and then bring it back into the Xamarin Forms framework and deploy it in your UI like you would any other type of control. But that exists to be able to give you that capability. Now, we've done a lot of work on this And this is one of the things that we thought about very carefully when we originally created forms. And originally, the first thing we did was create a custom renderer framework, which makes that process much easier. So we provide a dependency service that allows you to do a platform-specific implementation and then use the dependency service to then identify through an interface which is the correct implementation when we build the application to use. We've also added, more recently, something called native embedding, where you can add native controls as child controls of your layout in exactly the same way as you would a Xamarin Forms control. But you're going to need to remember to provide an alternative for the other platforms, because that will only build on a single target. So a couple of things to bear in mind. Now, you might ask yourself at this point, you know, I've heard a lot about native. You keep talking about native, how fast Xamarin is, how much it performs like a native application. How do we actually achieve that? So here's a very high-level overview of the Xamarin build process. So on the left-hand side, we've got iOS. On the right-hand side, we've got Android. And really, the approach that we take is we mirror the same approach that the indigenous language of the platform uses. So on iOS, Swift and Objective-C are ahead of time compiled. That's not something we actually get to choose. That's a requirement of Apple. You cannot do any code generation on the device with an iOS app. So we pre-compile our code. When you come to release, we actually fork the same LLVM compiler platform that Apple used to compile Objective-C. And what we spit out is an ARM binary. So you're getting the same kind of native performance, native application that you would get if you were building with Objective-C. The only difference being the source language is C#. Now, on Android, we take a slightly different approach. Java is a JIT compiled language by its nature. So we do the same thing. We JIT compile on the device. We do have some support for AOT compilation on Android if you're interested. It's kind of swings and roundabouts. AOT tends to give you faster app startup time because you haven't got the JIT overhead. JIT tends to be to produce slightly more optimal code because you can take advantage of the environment in which the code is running during the compilation, during the build process. And what this results in is something that's so small, you can't even see it. What's actually happening on this graph? These are benchmarks. These were created by a guy called Harry Chung. I believe, I might be wrong, but I believe he was Google employee number 5 or number 6. And so our friend Harry decided, I know, I'm going to create some benchmarks to compare different cross-platform and native development framework performance. Sexy subject. So that's exactly what he did. Now, all these benchmarks are open source. They're all on GitHub. They've all been peer reviewed by various different developers. So we've, you know, people have contributed pull requests to make sure that they're not biased towards a particular framework, particular platform. But what we can see here is on the left-hand side, we've got iOS. On the right-hand side, we've got Android. And the darker bar on the left is an iPad Air 2. The lighter bar is an iPhone 6. So you can sort of get a feel for how fast these benchmarks ran on different platforms. Now, the top one on the left is Swift, Apple's native language for iOS development. Brilliant job. They've done a fantastic job on Swift. It's a very nice language to use. I'm certainly not going to stand here and tell you not to use it. It's very efficient. It's called Swift for a reason. It's fast. It's very performant. But it's not cross-platform. So you can't take your Swift application and run it on an Android phone. It just ain't going to work. Next, the second one is Xamarin. So that's Xamarin iOS. So you can see the difference between Xamarin and Swift is negligible. There's really not much in it. Now, quite interestingly, if you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, that's Objective-C. Now, I read a stat the other day that said still the majority of apps on the App Store are written in Objective-C. That's where the big swell of development talent is, and that's where all the apps that were written for the first few years of the App Store, that's the only language they had to choose from. But not terribly performant, as you can see. And on the other side, we've got Android. So we've got an Android tablet, a Nexus 9, and a Moto X, a smartphone. And top of the tree there is Xamarin Android. Next comes Java. If we look down at some of the other cross-platform frameworks, if you look sort of, for example, on the left side, second to bottom, this is Titanium Accelerator. Definitely nothing wrong with it if you use it. Nothing wrong with that. It's a perfectly good framework, has its definite uses. JavaScript-based. If you come from a JavaScript background, worth checking out. But you can see that it is orders of magnitude slower. Now, I'm not going to tell you that in every single case, every single benchmark is going to reflect real-world usage. But what I can say, and I think what we can take away from this, is that Xamarin performance is up there at the native level. Sometimes it'll run a bit faster than Java, sometimes maybe a little bit slower. You're not going to pull out your phone, start up an app and go, oh my God, that's fast, must be a Xamarin app. But you will not be able to see a difference. So Visual Studio, anyone use Visual Studio? I would imagine quite a few people. Yeah, absolutely. So Xamarin is built into Visual Studio now. When you download Visual Studio 2015, run the installer, it's a checkbox in the installer. Check the box, it'll install Xamarin for you. Comes with your Visual Studio license at no additional charge. And that includes Visual Studio Community. So if you don't work for a big corporation, and you think that maybe the investment in a Visual Studio license is a little bit beyond your reach at the moment, download the free Visual Studio Community, and you still get Xamarin. So if you come from a .NET development background, you've got all the things that you love, all the tools, all the plugins. If you're the kind of developer, and I know there are a lot that can't write C# code these days without ReSharper, you can use it. You can leverage the entire Microsoft ecosystem that's been built up around .NET. Full support for UWP, enabling you to deploy your app to all kinds of different weird and wonderful platforms. Portable class library support. In fact, that's at the core of Xamarin Forms. If you're not familiar with PCLs, it's really just a kind of comfort blanket that is going to make sure that your code runs correctly on all the different platforms that you're targeting. C# 6, C# 7 is just around the corner. Of course, we'll have full support for that. And I think my colleague here, Richard, is going to look at Visual Studio Team Services later, so I will not go into any detail on that. We also have an IDE for the Mac. So if you come from an iOS background, if you're an Xcode developer, you can jump straight onto Xamarin Studio. Now, if any of you were watching the announcements around Microsoft in the last couple of weeks, what you will have seen is a slight change in our Mac IDE. So I believe it was about 2 weeks ago now, we had our Connect conference in New York, and we announced Visual Studio for Mac. Now, it's in very early preview. You're not going to be wanting to use it really right now for production work. If you're... Yes, like a lot of things. It's in very early preview. So it's worth checking out. It's worth downloading, maybe having a play. Be a little bit careful if you do. If you are an existing Xamarin developer and you are Mac-based, then you need to be a little bit careful about having Xamarin Studio and Visual Studio installed at the same time. One will replace a few important files that the other one needs. So actually, if you install Visual Studio for Mac, you won't have any problems with Xamarin Studio. If you then try to update Xamarin Studio when an update is available, it will then break Visual Studio for Mac, and you'll have to go back through the installer for that again to make it all work again. But it's, you know, that's what happens when you download preview software, I suppose. But do have a look, because the more people use it and the more people play with it, the more bugs we pick up, the more issues we can resolve, and the more people that are actually playing around with it, you know, we can pick up all that analytic data and be able to turn it into a better product. We have designer support. So if you're the kind of dev that likes to drag and drop things rather than writing too much code, you can do this. You can drag and drop your UI, move all your buttons and your images and everything else around on screen. There's one of those for iOS and one of those for Android. Profiler is a tool that we literally, for the last year and a half, has been in the same preview mode as Visual Studio for Mac, but now is a full production release. And this gives you the opportunity to look for memory leaks, find bottlenecks, really try to get that last 5% of performance out of the device, make it as performant as you possibly can. A lot of developers won't necessarily need to use this. If your app looks great and runs fine, perhaps you don't need to profile it. But if you're finding that you're getting, say, a lot of stutter, perhaps when you scroll up a list of information and it's sort of jerking as the frame rate's dropping as it's moving up the screen, run it through Profiler, take a look. It'll dig deep into the code and find out where those performance bottlenecks are happening. And it'll also help you identify things like memory leaks, where you're not releasing the memory. And slowly over time, your app performance degrades. So quite a useful tool. Xamarin Component Store, another pretty useful tool as well. Lots of plugins, lots of things that you can use to basically accelerate your mobile development. Now, over time, to be honest, the component store is starting to sort of be diminished in our plans, and we're moving over to more of a kind of NuGet package strategy. Generally, you'll find that the NuGet package equivalent of the library will be the most up-to-date version. The main reason for that is that components that go into the component store go through an approval process in a similar way to, say, iOS apps do on the App Store. So we have to do some inspection on it to make sure that it kind of meets the criteria. And if you just want to get started and you just want to see a good example of how to build a Xamarin app, if you want to see how we build apps using our own technology as a reference for you to get an idea of how you should architect your application, then download one of these pre-built apps from our GitHub repo. If you go to xamarin.com/prebuilt, I think it is, you can find a bunch of different example apps. And we've picked different, quite common types of apps within, you know, the kind of world of mobile. So we've got a sporting app, we've got a weather app, we've got a contacts app, this kind of thing here. And it will teach you how to do things that you might consider are going to be quite difficult to do cross-platform. So things like mapping and routing, as you can see in this one here. You know, three different mapping APIs. You've got Bing Maps on Windows, you've got Apple Maps on iOS, and you've got Google Maps on Android. But this will show you how to minimize the amount of code you need to write and be able to do all of that cross-platform. 100% code sharing. And of course, one of the burning questions that people often come to me with is, how up-to-date is Xamarin? When Apple puts out iOS 11 next year, or Android comes out with, or Google comes out with Android 8, how quickly can you adjust? Am I going to have to wait 6 months as a Xamarin developer before I can start building apps for that platform? And of course the answer is no. So we have very good relationships with Google and with Apple. We work very hard to maintain those relationships, and we are able to create preview releases alongside Apple and Google themselves. So when Apple puts out a developer preview, we will create a new version of the iOS SDK for Xamarin to be able to match to that. And we have a really, really proud record of having same-day support, particularly on iOS, since iOS 5. Why not 4-3-2-1? Well, to be honest, Samarin wasn't really around then. So we've pretty much done that from the beginning. And of course, we also have some great support for Apple Watch, Apple TV, Android Wear, Windows Desktop, Xbox One, all these kinds of other things. So that's a little bit about Xamarin as a technology. Hopefully, you know, this has helped you to understand a bit more about what Xamarin actually does. What I'm going to do next is just very quickly jump into an IDE and look at a Xamarin application, just to give you a better understanding of what a Xamarin app actually looks like under the hood. What kind of code are we writing? What are we doing here? And I'm also going to take a look at how we would integrate that with Azure. So here's my IDE. I've already created a very simple application. Now, I mentioned before that Xamarin apps are built around this, or Xamarin Forms apps, and this is a Xamarin Forms app, are built around this model view, view model pattern. So we can see here that we've got everything laid out in our application in these different folders to really give us that nice structure. But before I do that, one of the most important things that 99.9% apps need is something to connect to in the back end. It's pretty rare these days to find a mobile app that doesn't have some kind of back end, some kind of service that it has to consume. So here's my Azure portal. Let me go back to my dashboard. So you can see here, down on this bottom left-hand side, I've created something called an app service. Very, very easy to do. Just go new. Is my Wi-Fi working? That might be the next question. Oh, there we go. Have a look in the web and mobile section, and you will find this thing called mobile app. And that's really all I've created on my dashboard here. So I'm going to jump into that now. And we can see here that my mobile app service is up and running. I can check that if I want to, literally by going to the endpoint for my app service. So this is the endpoint that is exposed. It's a web service that is exposed to me to be able to start consuming Azure services through my app service. And if I reload that, Wi-Fi might not be great. Oh, there we go. Awesome. It's running. So what do I want to do next? Well, one of the things that I probably would like to do is have a database. You know, the majority of apps these days probably have some kind of SQL or NoSQL backend. They've got to be able to push and pull data to the cloud. And this is one of the great areas that Azure can help you out. So as app developers, perhaps we don't want to spend a great deal of time in the back end, particularly if you're an indie dev. If you're working in a big corporate enterprise environment and you've got development teams of dozens of people, you're going to have specialists in all these different roles. You're going to have people building out the back end and the web services and everything that your app consumes and doing all the integrations. You're going to have architects working on all that kind of stuff. If you're an indie developer and you're working on your own and you want to focus on app development, probably you don't want to spend a lot of time messing around in the back end, building all the infrastructure to support your application. So we can really shortcut that process and provide a solution that's going to really help you to do that more quickly. So on the database side, one thing I'd love to show you today is this thing called Easy Tables. So this is part of your app service. It's in your menu here, your app service settings menu. And I'm going to go down, where was it? Lost it now. There we go. Under mobile, we've got Easy Tables. So I'm going to open that up. Just give it a little time to load. It's at this point I wish that I'd gone onto the private Wi-Fi rather than the public one, but anyway. And we can see here that I've already set up a simple database here. This is just Azure SQL backend with a Node.js connector. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to build a database for myself to consume in my application. Now, you might think at this point, oh, God, database schema, I've got to start writing loads of SQL, I'm going to have to start pushing stuff, you know, up and get it to build my tables for me, and then I'm going to have to populate my tables with stuff. And then I'm going to somehow have to hook that up and create some kind of web service, some kind of web front end for it, hook it up to a web server, create a REST API so that I can then start consuming the contents of that database from my mobile app. A lot of work. Wouldn't it be great if somebody did all that for us? And that's exactly what Easy Tables will do. So I have here an Excel spreadsheet. Just a pretty simple Excel spreadsheet. And it's got some of my chums in there, some of the people that I work with. In fact, I think old Richard Irwin is down there at number 11. And I've got a bunch of different column headings there. I've got a name and a description and a title, a website, an avatar image, and a rating. And of course, everyone is rated number one. So a very simple spreadsheet of people, individual profiles of different people. And all I'm going to do is I'm going to open up my Azure portal, and I'm going to go to this option here, add from comma separated. There we go, there's my file. And you can see already it's defined my schema for me. So it's taken a guess that everything's a string. Probably don't want everything to be a string. That native at the end, rating at the end, was probably going to be an integer. So let's make that into a number. But I think everything else, we can say, yeah, we're pretty happy with all of those being a string. So let's hit the start upload. Actually, let's give it a different name first of all. Let's call it demo data. So this is the name of my table. Let's take off caps lock as well. And hit the start upload button. And you can see it started to import the data. Chug, chug, chug. Come on, Wi-Fi. You can do it. And we can see we've got a successful import. And now if I go to this table, and just give it a second. Boom. Database in the cloud. All done. There it is. And that's my database. Finished. Ah, no, wait a minute. We need a web service. We need some way of connecting this up to our app. Having a database just sitting on a server somewhere isn't going to help us. So how do we go about doing that? Well, it's already been done for you. So if I go to my Snippet Manager, also known as Notepad, there we go. Oh, took a while, but we got there. So I just typed in a simple query. Let's look at that query again. I can even just query directly on the command line there. So I just created a simple URL-based query. All I'm doing is really just writing a simple query that just looks for a record matching the name Richard Irwin, my colleague here. And it returned some JSON for us. So this stuff here that's probably too small to see is JSON. There we go. Hopefully that's big enough now. There you go. So by simply uploading a comma-separated file into Azure, into Easy Tables, it not only created my database schema, populated my table with data, but it also created a full web REST API for me to now consume from my mobile app. Now, I could just consume this using URLs in this way, or I could use an SDK that integrates and wraps that for me so that I've got a much easier way to do it within my application. So let's go back to my application. And let's look at what I've done here. So I've got my model here. And if we take a look at my model, we can see here, let me make that a bit bigger for you. There we go. We can see my model is just my entity. It's just my simple class that's just got a bunch of properties in it that I've set. And I've given them a getter and a setter, just standard C# class properties. And I've matched the different column names in my backend database. And given them the same types. Now, what I want to do now is I want to be able to consume this data in this application. So I want to be able to take this model, instantiate it, and populate it in perhaps a list structure of some kind or some kind of data structure, maybe an observable collection, something like that. Populate it with the data in the database. But there are a few difficulties that come along now. I want to be able to do things like, what happens if I'm offline? What if my connection isn't great? What if I need to have offline capabilities? What if I need to be able to write stuff back to the database, but my connection's been lost? It'd be great if I could cache that data locally so that when I get a Wi-Fi connection or I get that cellular connection again, I can then push that data back up to the cloud. What if I want to be able to sync in the background seamlessly my data between my device and the cloud so that I don't have to keep pulling to refresh all the time? It just does it all for me. What if I want to be able to sync my data across multiple devices? Let's say I'm keeping a list of information and I want everybody that I work with to have the same list updating all the time. Again, you know, these things can be quite complex, quite complicated to do in mobile, particularly if you've got things like conflicts in the database. Perhaps two people wrote to the database at the same time or at different times, both had no internet access, then it's got to sync those things back and work out which one is the most recent update and handle all those conflict resolutions. How many lines of code is it going to take me to do that? Probably hundreds, thousands. You know, it's a pretty substantial amount of work. So I decided I'm going to do it in four. So I'm going to use a package here, which was written by one of my good friends, a guy called Mike James. If you've ever been to any Xamarin developer conferences, you probably will have bumped into him and his colleague, Piers Boggan. And they've written something called Azure App Service Helpers, which is a wrapper for the App Service NuGet package, or rather the SQLite Store NuGet package that comes from Microsoft to help you with all that syncing to Azure between your client database and the database in the cloud. And all you need to do is write these four lines of code. And this will now take care of all of your syncing, all of your offline storage. Everything you write will now be done to this table that we've registered, which is our offline local table on the device. And because it's a local storage table, we don't need to worry about network capability. We can sync back to the cloud whenever the network becomes available. So it doesn't just help us with our syncing. It doesn't just help us with our offline, but it even helps us with our performance. Because all our CRUD operations are done locally on the device rather than pushing up to the cloud. So lovely performant way. And all we've done is we've instantiated, or we've created, or registered, rather, this table in this client. So we're using our App Service Helpers package, just a NuGet package that I've installed into the application. We've created this thing called an iEasy Mobile Service Client, just a property. And we've now registered this table of type profile, which is the model that I created earlier, that class with all the properties in it. And that's pretty much all we have to do. And then in our view, I want to have a list view. So I've created my XAML, and I've created my layout. And what I've got here is I've created this abstraction called a list view in my XAML, and I've used something called a binding process. Now, what binding enables you to do is to preserve that nice separation of concerns between the layout and the behavior, and bind the property of a control in your layout to the underlying property in your view model. And then through raising a property changed event, when the property in your view model updates, for example, new data arrives, it will automatically, through the binding, then update your view, and vice versa. So if you type something, for example, in an input box, when that property changed event is raised, it will then write that data or store that data in the property in the underlying view model. So very nice, clean, easy architectural pattern. So I could probably go into a great deal. You probably want to see this app run, actually, don't you? Shall I actually build it? Everyone pray to the build gods. It's always a bit of a moment when you hit the build button for the first time in a live demo. Now, just at the moment, it's going to take a bit of time when it first runs because it's got to download all that data from Azure when we first initialize the application. And with the amount of devices that we've got connected to the Wi-Fi in here, it could take a while. There we go. So there's my little list of information there. And I've just created a couple more screens. I've got a second view there that just, if I'd had a bit more time, I would have shown you. That's really the fundamentals for building a connected application with, or a very abridged version of creating an application with Xamarin. I'm really sorry, I'm going to have to finish now because otherwise I will miss my flight. But by all means, richard@xamarin.com, send me an email, ask any questions you've got, and I'll be happy to follow up with you afterwards. So thanks very much for your time today. Grab yourself a pint. See you soon.